Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another swing and another miss. This is Wretched Radio. Have you noticed the seeker-sensitive movement continues to biff it? Their batting average, zero. They identify what they perceive to be a need, an ache, a longing, a desire, a hope, a wish, a dream of society, so that we can turn the church into their wish fulfillment center. Perhaps it's entertainment. Perhaps it's life hacks. Perhaps it's just community. Whatever you need, world, that is what we will become for you. And they continue to swing and to miss. Case in point from the conversation, there is a worldview that's making a comeback. Stoicism, of course. You've heard that Paul encountered the Stoics in Athens, and that would be Acts 17, give or take about verse 18. John appeared to be addressing the Stoics when he talked about Jesus as the Logos. It was a Greek philosophy that gained some traction in the first century, earlier than that, actually, but it was prevalent in Paul's time, and he actually debated them, presented the gospel to them. Well, what's old is new again. According to the conversation, one of the biggest online communities is called the Daily Stoic. They claim to have an email following. Email following, not subs, not followers. Email following of over 750,000 subscribers. That's a movement. And people seem to be desiring what's old, to bring it into today. And that is why I believe, once again, those folks who are seeker-sensitive have totally biffed it. In that, you'll hear some preachers, I am not going to mention names. Andy Stanley! Jimmy, we need to get a cough button in here so that I can clear my throat better. That tell us, unhitch the Old Testament. Too old. Too archaic, too difficult and complicated for people. They don't want none of that. Just sort of generally quote what Paul said or what Luke said, but don't invoke the Bible, and certainly don't invoke the Old Testament, which I have to tell you, in preparation for Easter, is about one of the most ludicrous ideas I have ever heard. That we would detach the book that is the foundation of the New Testament. You take away the old, you don't have a new. The new is predicated on the old. Who is Jesus other than another fame seeker in Jewish society that wants to gain followers, if it weren't for the Old Testament, relentlessly pointing to him as the Messiah that had to suffer, die, and rise again from the dead on the third day, which, by the way, is what Paul taught in Acts 17, verses 1 through 4. The idea that we need to get rid of the Old Testament because people don't want that stuff. It's going to complicate things. It'll confuse things. And it just seems so dated is to miss the trend again. People seem to want to go back. And don't we see that in other statistical analyses of society? What religion are a lot of younger, former evangelicals jumping to? Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. Why? In part, they want something old. They don't want the trendy. We got enough new and trendy. It's in our cell phone. We can access that anytime. Give me something that has some roots. And that's exactly what the Old Testament is. And people, it seems, are turning their attention toward the classics because they're tired of the modern philosophies and the worldviews and the Oprah life hacks that just aren't getting it done. Tony Robbins, you can take for about so long, and then you realize, I'm not becoming rich like he is. What's wrong with this system? Why don't I feel that way? Well, a godless worldview, it has no power. It can never deliver. So people being burned by contemporary ideologies are saying, well, where can we look? They're going back. Stoicism is a little bit complicated, and we've perhaps, no, probably, oversimplified it these days. So if I said to you, Stoic, doing a word association game, which I have been informed should never be done under any circumstances, you'd probably go, oh, denial, not enjoying anything, just getting by. Well, yeah, that's a part of it. But it's a little bit more complex. It involves the logos. It involves reason. The idea, you go to different levels of stoicism where you basically don't need all of this stuff. It isn't a craving. It isn't a desire. Sounds a little bit, frankly, like Buddhism. Nevertheless, the idea is I don't need that stuff to make me happy. Oversimplification, but the oversimplification that it's just denying yourself isn't exactly right either. The goal of Stoicism is to be elevated to the point where you no longer have desires that control you. You control everything. So you can still have joy. You can still eat good food. It just doesn't rule you. The opposite Greek philosophy is probably oversimplified also. Epicureanism, where it's just eat, drink, and be merry. Well, it was a little bit more complex than that. Nevertheless, we need to consider why it is that 750,000 people are providing their email address so that they can learn how to get control over their environment and their emotions and their desires. Now, this is from the conversation, Sandra Woyan describing Stoicism. And this is not intended to be a cursor on Stoicism for the sake of knowing Stoicism. I have to confess, I in preparation for this, I just read about Stoicism and it just bing, ding, bing, because it's so man-made. And it's just so sometimes, frankly, confusing. But what we can take away from it is that the Bible actually addresses all of the things that people seem to be searching for in Stoicism. Because Stoicism, without God, without a personal being, well, they would say it's an impersonal force, the Logos. And that's why John offered a corrective. No, 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 no. It's God. It's Jesus Christ, the incarnate one, the relational one. That's who the Logos is. Nevertheless, here's what Stoicism teaches. The first is that virtue is the only or highest good, including the cardinal virtues of wisdom, temperance, courage, and justice. Everything apart from virtue might be nice to have, but they don't directly contribute to human flourishing. That would be one of the precepts of Stoicism. How do we counter this? By asking the question, well, what exactly is virtue? Where did it come from? How did it happen? And you can use reason and logic, but I would encourage us to invoke the Bible itself. We know virtue because God is virtuous, and it flows out of Him. We don't gain virtue to flow up to Him. He trickles it down so that we can understand what it is, because without a virtuous one, there's no virtue at all. Number two, people ought to live in accordance with nature or reason. It's the Stoic belief that the universe is pretty rational. It's pretty ordered. Well, that's right. So we ought to align our beliefs and actions with eternal principles. But again, you have the two-word question that always undermines these worldviews. Says who? Says who? Who's your source of authority on this? This is why we cite the Bible, both Old and New Testaments. Third, a person can control only their own actions, not external events. Fourth, The fourth principle is that thoughts about external events are often the source of discontentment or distress. So get rid of all of those things, visualize positively, and you'll be happy, hopefully. Did you notice what it doesn't address? Issues like guilt, shame, purpose, hope, joy, what truth is? They can't answer any of these questions. The Bible can. And that is why you and I need to constantly quote it. And not in this esoteric kind of, well, that's what Luke once said, because we don't want to quote the Bible. And that is, people seem to be willing to go back and read a little bit about, hopefully, what the original Greek philosopher said in order to get a handle on life. And what are we doing? We're putting the Bible back on the shelf because we seem to be, well, the world doesn't want that. Yes, they do. They're actually seeking something old, something proven. Stoicism doesn't have a track record. Christianity does. If you're wanting to reach this world, the last thing you want to do is disconnect the Bible from the conversation and put the Old Testament into a dumpster because, oh, people don't want that. Well, the reality is, it seems they do. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, Psalms 96:3 tells us, declare his glory among the nations. And that's exactly what we're striving to do here at Wretched, by producing top-notch productions that capture hearts, minds, and souls without breaking the bank. So to all of our supporters who have given in the past, thank you. But could I bend your ear about possibly considering becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? With your ongoing support, we're able to continue creating engaging content that preaches the gospel, equips others to do the same, and strengthens the local church. And you can rest easy knowing we're ECFA approved, which means no private jets for us. No. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. So would you please pray about joining us as a gospel partner by visiting wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Huge! We have a huge announcement. This is Wretched Radio. Order them while they're hot. We have for your consideration available in the Wretched store the Whitney Houston Bible. That's right, inside of a King James Version Bible, the death certificate of Whitney Houston, along with all of her chart-topping lyrics and all of the accolades and awards that she won, inserted right into your Bible. But wait, you say I'm not a Whitney Houston fan. Don't you worry. Get yourself an Elvis Presley Bible. That's right, the king of rock and roll. It actually includes a copy of the original contract that he signed with Sun Records. That's right. And the scribblings of "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog."
Yes.
And a few pages of the book that was on his nightstand the night that he tragically died, which I think was some sort of mystical Eastern sort of affair, inserted right into your Bible. And you say, "Friel, what are you doing to the Bible?" And that is, I think, the question that we need to ask about, you heard that right, the God Bless the USA Bible.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know
Lee Greenwood, partnering with the former president of the United States to sell the God Bless the USA Bible, including the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. It's the God Bless the USA Bible.
God bless the USA.
Now, you're going to maybe think that I'm a communist, that I don't love this country. I do. And I think these human documents were brilliant, but they don't belong in the Bible.
Mm-mm.
They don't belong in a part of the canon of Scripture. This is God's inspired word, the words of life. There's no book that is on the same plane. And as ridiculous as it sounds to have a Whitney Houston Bible or an Elvis Presley Bible, we should have the same attitude. Look, and it doesn't mean we disparage those documents. Can we hold two things potentially in tension? We love those documents. We're grateful for those documents. Believe me, we're grateful for those documents. But they're not Bible. And we would find it unthinkable if somebody said, let's insert the Shriners membership charter into the Bible. You'd go, well, that doesn't belong. How's about your local park and rec's rules and regulations? You'd say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. Exactly. These are legal governing documents. They are not the word of God. And of course, the world is mocking it. Who else but The View decides to bring this story to the fore so that they can, well, make fun mostly of Trump. Nevertheless, listen to the crowd's response as they play the announcement from Donald Trump selling. And by the way, the website says this is by no means a political sale or movement or in support of anything political. And yet the former president, partnering with Lee Greenwood, selling them. Listen to the audience response.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood. Who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again.
Okay, I don't know what it...
She didn't write anything. We can hold two things in tension. We love the country. We love the founding documents, but we love the Bible way more. Way more. Exponentially more. And maybe, maybe it's time for us to start saying, no, you can't do this to the Bible, which you can know is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. How? Well, you can study canonicity. That's right, canonicity. You say, are we going to talk about the New Testament now? No, we're going to talk about the Old Testament now, because the Old Testament was canonized too. How do you know that the books on the left side of your Bible should indeed be there? Well, the answer is, I think, just as solid as why we know the New Testament books that are included in the canon of Scripture are to be included. And by the way, that decision was not made in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. Instead, it was known in the first century. These are the books. And that's similar to the way the Old Testament was canonized. In the nation of Israel, they knew. These books were just accepted. There was no questioning. You didn't have any interlopers being injected from Babylon or from Egypt like you did with the New Testament. You had the New Testament canon, which everybody in the first century knew, but then you had people writing new books like the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Peter, saying, hey, these should be inspired too. And we had to come up with some rules to block those from being included. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that debate or that problem. Everybody knew. This is from Kevin Bowder, Canonicity, the Old Testament, and the Apocrypha. Why we don't have the Apocrypha inside of our Bibles. From Kevin Bowder, the church received the Old Testament directly from Israel. We don't know how they were recognized, but we think Ezra might have been involved. Ezra was described as the scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel, and a scribe of the law. So the writings of Moses were already recognized, because if they were already quoting the law, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, it's because they had already accepted it. So by the time the New Testament hits Israel, they had fully accepted the 39 books that you and I have today. Now, they divided them a little differently. They ordered them differently. Sometimes they combined first and second books. But they had the same ones that you and I have today, and the New Testament, including, dare I say, especially, Jesus quoted the Old Testament constantly. I think the only book that isn't quoted, I think, in the Old Testament might be Song of Solomon. Could be wrong on that, but I'm not, because I'm a talk show host. When you've got the New Testament constantly citing it, but never citing any sort of apocryphal books, that's a pretty good sign that they already agree, because the apocryphal books were intertestamental books for the most part, written in that 400 years of silence. Why didn't Jesus ever quote them? Why didn't the New Testament authors ever quote them? And you say, wait a second, Jude, he quoted Enoch. Well, he quoted a prophecy from Enoch, but that's not the only time in the New Testament that something extra-biblical was quoted as something that everybody understood to be true. It was not an authorizing of the book of Enoch. It was merely including a quote from that prophet that everybody accepted. You see, no New Testament books authorizing the Old Testament. Zero. None. And that is why we don't include the apocryphal books. Now, we've talked about this before, and inevitably some Roman Catholics will say, oh no, the apocryphal books should be in there. You guys have taken books out of the Bible. Oh no, the apocryphal books were added to the Bible. That is just historical fact. Jerome, he translated the original Bible. He took the Greek manuscripts and he translated them into Latin. It's called the Latin Vulgate, late 4th century, so late 300s. He translated Greek into Latin, which continues to be used in some Roman Catholic churches to this day. He didn't want them in. He felt a lot of prep. People were saying, hey, you got to put them in. And he said, no, they don't belong in here. And so they were put in a category called ecclesiastical books, church books, maybe something that we can learn. So like the Didache, he said, okay, it's a church book. It's sort of like an early church catechism book, how they went about the business of doing worship. But he didn't want them included in the canonical section. So they weren't. How did they get in? The Council of Trent, 1546. That is when they were codified by the Roman Catholic Church because they needed some Bible. Luther and the rest of the reformers were insistent. You got to show me where this is in the Bible. Show me where purgatory is. You got to show me where praying to Mary is in the Bible. You got to show me where veneration of saints is in the Bible. And they couldn't do it. But they found some hints of that in the apocryphal books. And so they added them. And the reason that we don't include them today, even though the Eastern Orthodox Church added them in 1672 in their Council of Jerusalem, Protestantism never has. And therefore, you do not have full church agreement, which was one of the canonical reads early on. When the early church was deciding which books in the New Testament should be in, they had rules. And one of the rules was everybody has to agree to this. And if we don't agree, then they don't go in. Well, they didn't agree on the apocryphal books. And we still don't. The books that you have in your Bible today are the books that you are supposed to have, including the books on the left side, which you shouldn't unhitch, and dare I say, which you shouldn't separate to include wonderful documents like the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, and the U.S. Constitution. This is Wretched Radio.